of Simcha. Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah Chatzah, the Marv Simcha. Of course, there is an inning to be happy today. Question is there always an inning to be happy on Rosh Chodesh, even when it is a different month of the year? And believe it or not, that question, when it's discussed in the Poskim, emerges from our sugya. The last Gemara we studied at the end of last week was when a person forgets Yalav Yavo, and they have to insert the bracha at the conclusion of Bonei Yerushalayim before they start with Hatova Meitiv. So the Gemara has a question what the appropriate nusach is. We're not going to read that Gemara inside because we saw it last week, but that is the first source on the sheet where you begin, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Nosan Rosh Chodeshim La'amo Yisrael L'zikaron. Okay, L'zikaron to, as a remembrance. Okay, what the remembrance is, maybe we'll come back to it later, but L'zikaron is found by Yom Tovim as well. But by Yom Tovim, we see it's Baruch Asher Nosan Yom Tov L'amo Yisrael L'simcha L'zikaron. And the Gemara says that we're not sure if we should add the word L'simcha in the Nusuf for Rosh Chodesh. Just leave it as L'zikaron. And it's an unanswered question. Okay, the Rush, surprisingly, as we discussed last week, takes sides and says, even though the Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion, I come to a conclusion that we should delete the term Simcha from that text or leave it out. But we're going to leave it open-ended for the moment. And we also saw that Tosa Rush said the question of whether or not there's a conclusion to that bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Rosh Chodeshim, or something like that, right? Do you have to sum it up with the concluding text of the bracha, the chasima, depends on the same question. If there's multiple themes, if Rosh Chodesh is identified as l'simcha ul'zikaron, yeah, l'simcha ul'zikaron, then two themes, it's appropriate to conclude the bracha with a chasima because there was a long interruption, a long gap in between. But if it's just one theme, l'zikaron, Rosh Chodesh is just about l'zikaron, then you don't need to sum it up with a concluding bracha. It's like a bari pri eitz. Okay, now let's go a little bit deeper than we did last week. Start with the second paragraph. I'm sorry about the numbers. Second paragraph is the Tosa Rush we just saw briefly. Iyamar Basimcha. The Gemara says that, who is it, Rav Gido, was unsure whether or not we should conclude with Simcha. So what were the two, Stavi HaSafik, what were the two sides of his question? Possible number one, Rosh Chodesh Shalshach by Simcha. Possible number one is Rosh Chodesh. What indication in the Torah and Chazal is it that Simcha is appropriate on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe not. We don't really have a concrete source for it. Or maybe yes. Oshema, second paragraph of Bosai in the sheets that we give out. Oshema, perhaps indeed it's on. There's a stack of them over there. Okay. Perhaps Kevin Nichsev will be Yom Simchaschem Avodeichem Rosh Chodeshem. Since in the Pasuk in Balotzcha regarding the, remember, where do we see this from Bosai? Balotzcha the Chatzotros. Okay, when the special horns that Moshe Rabbeinu fashioned out of silver were blown, what were the three functions of the Chatzotros outlined in the Torah? The first was to signify that either the camp was traveling or breaking camp or settling down or for that matter, assembling the people in the Midbar. That was one function. It was an announcement. Number two, what was the second purpose of the Chatzotros?
War.
Okay, and we said that's even functional in some places. Bizman Hazeh. And number three, it was blown accompanying the karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Okay? So there's an inyan of chatzotzos. And how does the pasuk end? This is maybe the most important thing for us at this stage and later in the shir. The conclusion of that pasuk, okay, where is this found? Perek Yud. V'yom simchasem, listen to this pasuk, because this is really what the Rush is pulling from. V'yom simchaschem uv'moadechem uv'roshech hachechem. On your happy days, on your moadim, okay, we'll call moadim just appointed times, special times on the calendar for now, uv'roshech hachechem, and on your first of the month, okay, utikatem chatzotzos al olasechem, v'alziv chesamechem, below the chatzotzos, sorry, for ola and shlamim, v'hayu lachem l'zikaron l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. And it will be for you a remembrance before God, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. So you see, Zikaron applies to Yom Tovim, does not apply, and also applies to Rosh Chodesh. Which category of holy days is left out from that pasuk? Again, it's Yom Simchaschem, Moadechem, V'Roshei Chodeshechem. What's conspicuously absent? Shabbos, right? So the pasuk doesn't have Chatzotzos for Shabbos, and there's also no Zikaron for Shabbos. Shabbos is not a Zikaron in the same way that Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh apparently is. It could be it's remembering of something else, right? But okay, but it's not whatever Zikaron means in this pasuk doesn't mean for Shabbos. And the raya to that is the way it appears in the Gemara's bracha, right? By Yom Tov we end with L'Simcha L'Zikaron, but Shabbos is Baruch Shanasin Shabbosas L'Menucha La'Am Yisrael Be'Ava La'Osu L'Bris. Shabbos is an Osu L'Bris, whereas Yom Tov is a Zikaron. Okay? Hopefully we'll get more clarity about this. But at least you should notice when you daven Mincha Mirat Hashem very soon and you get up to Yalav Yavo, or when you have your Sudas Rosh Chodesh, as we'll see in a moment, you have Sudas Rosh Chodesh and you say Yalav Yavo and benching, what do we say? It's all about Zikaron, right? So on and so forth, all about Zikaron. Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu Ba'ol Tova. Right, so Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim, when you recite Yalav Yavo, share that Zikaron. So again, it's not about what I'm remembering. Zechel Ma'aseh Bereishis, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about the pasuk says V'hayu Lachem LeZikaron L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. The day, the observance of these special days will be a Zikaron before Hashem.
Yeah, okay?
Okay. It doesn't share this quality. And therefore, Yalav Yavo is different than Ritzei. Yalav Yavo is Zikaron, Zikaron, Zikaron. And Shabbos doesn't mention anything about that other than what we're supposed to remember and be reminded of when we talk about Shabbos. Okay? So the Rush presents that as the groundwork. Look at that second paragraph. He says, Oshem Akivin the Sibyl Yom Simchaschem, Odechem, Rachechem, Chechem. Iskis Rosh Chodesh Yom Simcha. Perhaps by grouping them all in one breath, Avi Dadon, Yom Simcha, Yom Moed, Rosh Chodesh in one breath, that is a hekesh. That is the Torah sharing a common thread, all three of those holidays or special days having an inyan of Simcha. Okay? And we find Simcha by Regalim, Vayisa Ach Sameach, and Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. We'll see examples of that in a second. Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. And the Regalim have Simcha, so maybe any Moed has Simcha as well. If you remember, we just touched upon this briefly, but let's look at it more carefully now. If you turn to the second side of the sheet for the moment, there's a scan right in the middle of the page. This is one from one of Rav Nevin Sol's farm, okay? And he quotes Yishalmi on page two, this Yishalmi is cited by Rishonim. Yishalmi sover, shetzarech lomar brosh chodesh, Vasienu Hashem Alkenu es berkas moedecha. Kimo b'shar yom tovim. I'm on page 2 right in the middle. Page 2. The Yishalmi says that in your musaf, okay, everyone should be able to tell me for the musaf this morning, these are words that you should recognize from Yom Tov. Vasienu Hashem Alkenu es berkas moedecha. L'chayim ulishal, right? Vasienu Hashem Alkenu es berkas moedecha means bestow upon us the blessing of the moed. What is the blessing of a moed? What's unique about a moed that you would say carries a blessing to it?
Korbans.
What's that?
A korban even go on moed or no?
A korban's not a bracha. Maybe it's related in some way, but it's not a bracha. What's a bracha of a moed? You said it before. Vayisa achsameach. That you will be besimcha. Uh-huh. Okay? That's a simple understanding of the bracha. We do not say that on Rosh Chodesh Musaf. This morning we didn't say v'hasienu. That is reserved for Yom Tov. So Rav Nevinsal suggests... Okay, but that doesn't mean that you can't be besimcha. And like, what about Purim? You can do malach on Purim also. You can still be besimcha. Okay, you can celebrate a happy occasion. So the Yishalmi says v'hasienu. We leave it out. Not only do we leave it out from our text of the Siddur, but as he says, that's what the Yishalmi says. Our Bavli wasn't sure whether simcha should be in the benching reference when you forget Yalav Yavo, indicating perhaps that the Bavli is clashing with the Yishalmi and reflected in our Siddur that we don't mention Simcha. So maybe that's a proof that there's no mitzvah Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. It doesn't have the suffix. So it doesn't have this. Why do we have the suffix? Because we're not convinced that there's a mitzvah Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. The Yishalmi, by saying that your Shemona Esrei should include a reference to the Birkas HaMoed, which is a bracha of Simcha, right? Seems to give that indication. So one way to look at this is, okay, our Gemara is not sure. We are at odds with Yishalmi, says that there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Okay? How would you be doch of this? Could you push off and how could you salvage and argue, champion the notion that there's Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, despite the fact that we don't say V'hasi'enu Shemokeh? Yeah. What?
I have a question.
Okay, so let me just because the Yishalmi says something clearly, and the Bavli leaves it open-ended, sometimes the halachic methodology tells you that even though we're normally passing like the Bavli over the Yishalmi, right? Normally passing the Bavli over Yishalmi, but when the Bavli is mesupuk, when the Bavli has a doubt, then we have a right to pull a conclusion from the Yishalmi, right? Because just the fact that we adopt one position over the other, when one position is a question mark, then we have a right to say, well, in the Yishalmi, they were convinced of that outcome, so we can adopt that as halacha l'maisa. Okay? So we're not out of the woods. Even though, okay, keep that in mind, we have to still contend with the fact that our Musaf doesn't include Hasiyenu. Our text of the Musaf doesn't include Hasiyenu. What I'm now just, you know, putting in our minds to get the wheels turning is the fact that we don't have that text in our Shemona Esrei, or the fact that we leave out l'simcha on Rosh Chodesh in our benching, does that conclusively say that there's no mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Chodesh altogether? That's what we're going to explore. Yes, Avi?
That's
what we're getting at. Okay.
Does the Hatzi necessarily mean simcha? Because it can't just be, you only say on Yom Tov, right?
Mm-hmm.
And can that maybe just signify how the rare occurrence are happening? I mean, Rosh Chodesh you say every month. Maybe
correct.
It's once a month you say, right? So Yom Tov you say once a year.
So let me give you some homework, okay? And I mean this. Okay, we have Yom Tovim coming up. V'hasiyenu, just the Hashem bestow upon us the bracha of Yom Tov. So whatever, you want to take out Simcha, fine. But then tell me what is the bracha of Yom Tov, okay? Every time you recite Musaf, you should be able to define in your mind what you are referring to when you say that, okay? So look into it, okay? Get back to me, and we can discuss it further as we get closer to Pesach together. But let's leave that aside. Let's go back to the main sources on number one. Okay, I would just want to highlight one or two quick references to the notion of moed, where we find that a Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, right? Because in order to do what the Rosh wanted to do, which was pull from Vasienus Bekas Moedecha, right? Or the association of Rosh Chodesh being a moed, where do we find that it's a moed? So look at this. This is Gemara in Erechin. This is Gemara in Erechin, Rabbi, that every single person has to know. Okay? If you don't know it by heart yet, you should at least know what the upshot of the Gemara is, because it plays into constant halacha l'maisa applications. This is the Gemara, Erech and Daf Yud. Eitan is where we talk about Halal. Okay? How many days on the calendar are both sides? Kobe, how many days on the calendar do we recite a full Halal? Should have it off the cuff.
21, huh?
Should. Chai, 18. 18 in Israel and 21 in Chutz La'aretz. Let's count it. Let's go with Eretz Yisrael, okay? 8 days of Hanukkah. How many days of Sukkot? How many days of Sukkot? Shmini Atzeres. Even in... Okay, so we have now 16. 16. Rabosai. Two more in Eretz Yisrael that we recite full hollow. Full hollow. Full hollow. 1 day of Pesach. In Eretz Yisrael, only 1 day of Pesach. And 1 day of Shavuos is 18. Add three more in Chutz La'aretz. Simchas Torah. Second day of Pesach. Second day of Shavuos. Okay.
It says 21 in Rashi. Quotes Erechin. I'll show you right now.
Okay. Good.
18,
in Eretz Yisrael, 21 in Chutz La'aretz.
Oh,
okay? So that's the count. The Gemara goes on to ask, why do we say full Hallel all days of Sukkot and not all days of Pesach? What's the answer?
The Karbanos.
Exactly. Beautiful. Okay, the real answer is what the Gemara says, that each day of Pesach, you have the same maftir, the same musaf. Sukkot, right, it varies. It goes down in numbers, right? That 70 bulls. It adds up to 70, but there's a decreasing quantity of karbanos every single day of Sukkot. Keneged the goyim, okay, until you get to Shemini Atzeres. So because each day has its own identity with its own karbanos, so it's like there's a brand new chiv of simcha and the chiv of halal, therefore reinvents itself each day of Sukkot, sorry, whereas Pesach, it's like the mitzvah of simcha comes in at the beginning of the antif, and then we just go with it for the rest of the holiday. Okay, that's the official answer in the Gemara. The unofficial answer, the more drushy answer, Jacob Pfeiffer. You know what it says in the Medrash? Medrash says, the reason why we don't say full Hallel after the first days of Pesach is because, what's the secondary holiday of Pesach? Shvi Shol Pesach. What event occurred on the Shvi Shol Pesach? 1 week after Jews of Mitzrayim?
Yamsuf.
Okay? 1 week after the Jews of Mitzrayim was Yamsuf. So that sounds like a good reason to say Hallel. Okay, answers the Medrash.
No, it wasn't Israel.
Hmm?
It wasn't Israel, so we don't say it.
No, because... Right. It's not a problem that it's outside of Eretz Yisrael because the Jews had never made it to Eretz Yisrael yet. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That has to do with Purim, why we don't say Halal on Purim. Correct? But the reason the Medrash says is because Hashem said, how can you sing? He said to the Malachim, he said to Malachi Asharis, how can you sing when there are also so many Egyptians that drowned at the same time? Okay? So, now, we know that there's got to be a limit to how much we apply that because the Jews themselves sang Oz Yashir, okay? So this is part of a bigger shmooze, but the short answer is that Hashem said that to the Malachim. If you were standing on the sidelines, okay, and one team wins and one team loses, okay, so if one team is suffering, it's not for you to get in and start celebrating. But if you're the one who was saved, right, if you are on the winning team and you are miraculously kept alive because of the miracle of the opposite, then even if someone had to die, okay, what are you going to do? You know, you have a war. Sometimes people have to die, but you have to do it to save yourself. Okay? So Jews have a right to sing Halal. But that's, for many reasons, that is a more midrashic agadita type of answer, agadic answer. It's in a medrash. The Mishnah Berurah does quote it, but we assume that this is the official answer. By the way, the first day of Pesach is legit holiday. Mm-hmm. You see, we get that. Last day, okay, maybe Kriyas Yom Tov, maybe not. What about Chol Moed? What do we do on Chol Moed? We say half Halal, right? Okay, so it's not the same thing as a full Yom Tov that we start with, right, on day one of Pesach, right? So, but we still say Halal even though it is, it's not an official Yom Tov, but Chol Moed still calls for Halal. Okay. Take a look at the next line of the Gemara, the bolded line in Erechin, right in the middle of the page. Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moed Lema. The Gemara asks, let's say Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So you'll tell me what we do say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, right? We don't really say Halal. We don't say a full Halal on Rosh Chodesh. We say a half Halal, and that Halal is only a minhag. Okay? Svardim, do not say the bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because it's only a minhag. Okay, same way that, similar fashion to women, Sephardi women who shake a lulav and esrog, they don't say the bracha. Okay?
I don't know
what? They don't even do it, right? I'm saying if they would. Yeah. If a Sephardic woman would perform a mitzvah, say Shazman Grama, she would not recite a bracha on it.
Okay?
Ashkenaz would. Okay? So these are related halachos. So Ashkenazi practice is to recite a bracha even on the minhag of Halal. On Rosh Chodesh, and in a similar fashion, they also make a bracha, even though they're reciting, even though they're performing a mitzvah, which they're not obligated to do. Okay. So the Gemara says Rosh Chodesh, you should recite Halal. Why? Because the Gemara says Shabbos does not have Halal. Why doesn't Shabbos have Halal? Why would I think it should have Halal? Because based on what we said before, by Sukkot, stay with me. On Sukkot, we said each day of the Yom Tov is new Karbanos. So therefore, it signifies there's a new cause for Shira. So are the Karbanos different on Shabbos than they were on Friday? Are they going to be on Sunday? Absolutely. So frankly, Gemara, how come we don't say Halal on Shabbos? What's the Gemara's answer? Gemara says, because it's not called a Moed. You need the status of a Moed, which Shabbos doesn't have, in order to be Chayav and Halal. So, in fact, the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh is a Moed. Why don't you say Halal? So right there, we have an important statement. The Gemara identifies Rosh Chodesh as a Moed. Midoraisa. The Gemara says the reason why you don't say Halal every Shabbos, even though there's special Karbonos that you don't do during the week, is because Shabbos is never referred to as a Moed.
What's the definition of a Moed?
It's a good question. We're going to call it an appointed time. Okay? So you're going to tell me why Shabbos is not an appointed time, as opposed to this. Okay? Could be because... Okay. There's something special about it. There's something unique to this date on the calendar. Now, obviously, there's something still special about Shabbos, but what we're looking for this definition of Moed may be something which has more regularity, where it's unpredictable. It depends on the declaration of the calendar and so forth, right?
Like, where's that gap between Shabbos or Chodesh and Yom?
What's that?
Where's that gap between the three? You know, at one point,
So right now, we're putting Rosh Chodesh with the Hollers, with the Yom Tovim, and we're separating it from Shabbos, okay? And that's exactly why the Gemara asks, well, if Rosh Chodesh is more like Yom Tov, because they're both called a Moed, then why don't you say Halal? So the Gemara says to that, We do.
No, I thought you said we say half on Pesach.
We after day one. Day one, you still.
If it's a moe,
so the Gemara said, because the Gemara said, because all of the carbonates are the same. So the idea is that even though Pesach is a moed, but when that moed begins on day one, that moed continues for the next 7 days. So we, please excuse me 1 second. So since that moed continues for the 7 days, once you satisfied your mitzvah of Shira, of Halal at the beginning, there's no need to regurgitate it every single day. Okay, meaning the only machayev of a full challah will be for every single moed. So in a sense, even though Pesach is a 7 day holiday on the calendar, it's a one 7 day moed, as opposed to Sukkot, which is 8 individual moed days.
You say a full challah on the first day of Pesach when it's actually Yom Tov, then you say a full one on the first day of Chol Moed, and then not even once on Chol Moed.
Okay, Rav Shechter has a chiddush. He says it's so obvious, he can't figure out why. Others for him didn't mention. He says, even though there's mitzvah simcha, which we usually associate with basar, yayin, right? So he says, if you take this logic all the way through, so Sukkot, you should have a mitzvah of basar yayin every day of Sukkot. Pesach, no. Pesach, if you do it once, you're good the whole time, right? In the same way that halal, you really are doing it once the whole time. Okay? To some extent. So we're stacking up the evidence. Okay, we see that the Gemara clearly refers to Rosh Chodesh on a Doraisa level as a Moed. Okay? Rashi emphasizes that in a couple of other places in Shas. Okay, but it has the status of a Moed. Now and to that. Oh, so good. So that's what the Shami says. And getting back to where we started, the Rosh says, why is the Gemara have a Havamin in Brachos that there is Simcha on Rosh Chodesh? Because after all, it's called a Moed. It's grouped together like with the other Moedim. The other Moedim have a mitzvah simcha. Rosh Chodesh have a mitzvah simcha as well. Okay? We do say half out, right? Okay, but we want to know, why don't we say full out? That's a minhag. It's a minhag that the Nevi'im instituted. We're not denigrating that in any way. And we fully believe every single person should indeed say it. But, it doesn't rise to the same level that we are assigning to the other Yom Tov. And the question is, why should that be so? Why should it be any different? Okay?
So a moed is something designated by the Torah, though?
It's not. Yes, like right. Yom Simchaschem, Uv Moadechem, Uv Rosh Chodeshechem. Those are the categories of special days that are outlined in the context of the Chatzotzos. Okay? Good?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to put out there, this is we touched on this a moment ago, but at least the way the Mishnah Berurah brings it down. So yes, you say full halal at the beginning of Pesach. You don't say it on the seventh day of Pesach, because as we said, the Egyptians died on that day. Okay? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Kevin Shabishri in Omroso, Al Kain Bechol Amoed, Gamkin in Omroso. So the Adif Miyom Tov Achron. In theory, sounds like I would have said full halal on all days of Pesach up to the last day, right? Because it was only the last day that the Egyptians were dying, right? Days in between, Jews were just marching along, the Egyptians were chasing them, but there was no battle, there was no loss. So in theory, you should have to say a full Hallel on day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Pesach. But since we downgrade day 7 because of the death of the Egyptians, so likewise, it would not be appropriate if the intermediary days were more chashuv and had a full halal, and the last day, which is a real bona fide yontif, doesn't have full halal. But according to our understanding of the Gemara, you don't need that, right? According to our understanding of the Gemara, because every day of Pesach has the same carbon, there's no chiyuv of a new halal. And what's the way to remember the fact that every day of Pesach has the same musaf? Because everyone knows on Pesach, you chime in with Ko'ela, right? It's a laning that you repeat day after day, okay? So it becomes, instinctive. Sukkot, no one does that on Sukkot because you need to see them after day 2, day 3, day 4, how many carbonos we're bringing this day. There's no one catch-all tune that everybody else wakes up for. Okay, good. So now we have the groundwork for why you might say that Rosh Chodesh is a moed. It definitely is a moed, but does that moed carry with it simcha? So let's talk about what simcha might mean. So it's interesting. What did we say in the Rosh before? We said that the Gemara is suffic as to whether or not you recite Simcha in that bracha of forgetting Aleph Yavo depends on whether or not there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. I could have asked a much better question. We should have had a more practical type of suffix about Simcha. What are the other nafkaminas about of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh? Or Yom Tov, for that matter. Right? When you have a day of Simcha, what other nafkaminas does it carry with it? That would be much more important than the fluke of a guy who forgets...
Burial?
What?
Burial?
Warm. Shiva. Right? A holiday, like Shol Shigolim, definitely has a mitzvah of Simcha, and it cancels Shiva. Right? Or it can prevent Simcha from... can prevent the Shiva from starting in the first place. Right? So how come the Gemara... That's really the shaila of the Gemara. Is there Simcha? Is there a Simcha? Then, you know what the worshiper asked? Forget about the guy who forgot Aleph Yavo and benching, which, by the way, we know that if you forget Aleph Yavo and benching, you don't even need to go back in the first place. So this guy who just happens to catch himself, right? So he wants to know what bracha he sticks in, which, Lamaisa, if he forgot that too, it would also be okay, right? And the biggest shaila we have is whether or not you make this addition of Simcha to the word. I would be more concerned about, is there Shiva? Or do I have to have a glass of wine today? Okay? The stipler was makbid to have a glass of wine on Rosh Chodesh, okay? So they should put this on the window of Burgers and Grill in Golan today, okay? Rosh Chodesh to the Chavarain, Bizman Azeh, She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Ein Simcha El B'Basar V'Yayin, okay? Okay, it means brisket in your lafa, not shawarma, okay?
If there's no shiva, you can say
there's what's that? Right. So why talk about these small nafkamina, so to speak? What's another nafkamina, Bosai? Great nafkamina. Anyone get married recently? Yes. No. Okay. Mir Hashem, you should all be zocha to attend. You have a wedding coming up? Where's the orchestra? Yeah. Okay. Danny, how you doing? Okay. You're going to have a chasana, Mir Hashem. Sometime in the future, whenever that happens to be. Okay? So you know, as you go through the week of Shabbat brachos, you only recite the extra seven brachos in benching, or extra six, whatever, however you look at it, right? If you have panim chadoshos, someone who is not there at the wedding itself. Now, what the idea behind that is a discussion we've shown them, but at least one shot is that in order to be able to highlight an elevated level of simcha at this meal, okay, in order to highlight an elevated element of simcha at this meal, yeah, the guy who missed the wedding and now he's here to join with the celebration. So if he shows up, right, that's why it's just important to know. Just as a side note, I'm not going into it right now. There definitely is a practice that sometimes if people make a shavuot brachos, they throw a party for their friends, you know, but they can't find panim chadoshos, so they're like pulling a random person off the street or like a waiter, you know, from the restaurant to sit down or stand, you know, nearby, and he'll be the panim chadoshos. It's not really right. It's got to be someone who we are actually going to feel like the simcha is increased because that person's here. Okay. No, so you try to find someone who wasn't there for whatever reason. Okay, and that's the ideal for panim chadoshos. Okay, because at least that reason, not everyone agrees to that reason, but that is one of the two primary reasons. So you're most of simcha. However, the following situation does not require panim chadoshos. Sheva brachos on Shabbos. Sheva brachos on Yom Tov. Because when the increase in simcha that comes as a result of those days is present, then you don't need to find the new person who wasn't there for the original occasion. Okay? Did you know that?
What if it's Shabbos going into Yom Tov?
What's that?
What if it's a Shabbos that goes into Yom Tov? You had Shabbos and now you're in Yom Tov. Is there still... Like you went down in simcha in a sense?
You went down... At least a three-day Yom Tov? What do you mean?
If you go from Shabbos straight into...
Okay, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Meaning when it comes to Shabbos Yom Tov, this is one of the other reasons, we definitely make a more festive meal and honor the occasion, right? So the simcha is also increased in the way that we celebrate.
If you can marry like right before like Shavuot, right before like Sukkot or something,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
then you would be able to do all the Shavuot.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I know someone who got married between Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, that's it's quite a party. Okay, Baruch Hashem, in the sukkah. If anyone learned the second sukkah, the Gemara talks about that in a bunch of places. You know, like, what if you don't have room for the chasen v'shur shavinov, right? What if not everyone fits in the sukkah? That's what the Gemara is talking about over there. Okay, so one second. So we say that the Friday night meal counts for panim chadoshos, the Shabbos day meal counts for panim chadoshos, Shalshuris, no. But the minig is that if the chassan makes a Dvar Torah, someone gives a big drasha, so the Dvar Torah can count as panim chadashas also. Okay, that works for shalshuris. Okay, works for shalshuris. Doesn't work for everything. Okay, that's the minig. But let's stay focused over here. So the question is, what about Rosh Chodesh? So turn to page 3, in the middle of the page, the Sefer Modei Agrach, the questions that were asked to Chaim Kanievsky. So he says, she'ela. Hayureim Simon Reish Chav Zayin. Right, Sheyesh didn't Simcha Rosh Chodesh. There is an inyan of Rosh Chodesh, Simcha. Im Rosh Chodesh have a panim chadashos l'sheva brachos. Does that mean if I have sheva brachos on Rosh Chodesh, that counts as well in the absence of new faces? So Reb Chaim said, in Simcha Gemura. Not really. So we need to, let's focus over here, try to take what we've already seen so far and try to define what is the nature of this Simcha. Okay, so go back to page 1. Very important source in the tour. Or Chaim, Tafya Test. This is the second to last paragraph on page 1. Second to last paragraph on page 1. Tafya Test. Mitzvah laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. First of all, is a minute to eat a little extra today. Laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. Okay? So it means to increase a little bit in what you have at your meal for lunch or dinner, if you have an early dinner today, tonight. Garcina ben Megillah, Be'elu Amr Magdimin, Avosudas Purim, Sudas Rosh Chodesh. That's a little quotation from Gemara. It doesn't give you all the background, so I'll tell you a little bit outside. We know that when it comes to Purim, depending on how it falls out, definitely in the old days, but even now when you have a triple Purim, Purim Shulish, at Shushan Purim on Shabbos, so sometimes you have to shift around when you do the various mitzvahs, when you have the Suda. The Gemara says that one thing that never gets rearranged is the Suda of Purim and the Suda of Rosh Chodesh. Always observe those on the day itself. That's just reading a simple Pshat in the Gemara, not for now. That's Yushalmi. So just as an aside, even though that's tangential, the Torah says, you see the Gemara, it mentions the Suda of Rosh Chodesh in the same breath as Sudas Purim. Everyone knows the Suda on Purim is a real mitzvah, right? So you get the impression that the Suda of Rosh Chodesh is on the same level. Okay? So if you really want to celebrate, okay, if you really want to take the tour literally, the Suda Rosh Chodesh and Suda Purim are equivalent. We're not going to go that far. But he says, Alma mitzvahu, you see that there's a mitzvah to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh, Dechash Lei Bahade Sudas Purim, because it is mentioned together in one breath as Sudas Purim. The Iskish Nami Lamoid, and as we saw earlier in the Rosh, there's a connection that's made between Rosh Chodesh and Moed, the Siv, Ubiyam Simchasim, Odechem, Rosh Chachem. That's our famous pasuk from Balozcha that associates Rosh Chodesh with other Moedim. But here's a fascinating raya. Ksiv in Shmuel Aleph. This was the Haftorah we were supposed to read on Shabbos, the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh, because Sunday was Rosh Chodesh. So if it was not for the fact that it was Shkolim, we would have read the story about David and Yonasan. And who's trying to kill David? Shaul is trying to kill David, right? And David doesn't show up to what? What does he not show up to? There was a meal at Shaul's house, and there's actually a meal that takes place on day 1, day 2, and David, not a coronation, but apparently there's a meal happening at Shaul's house. David doesn't show up for 1 day, for 2 days, and he needs an excuse. So his son Yonasan, Shaul's son Yonasan, says, no, David HaMelech had asked permission. He wanted to go to Beis Lechem, where his family is from, right? Beis Halachmi refers to David HaMelech and his descendants, Mashiach. So Beis Halachmi, he lived in Beis Lechem, so he went home to the Mishpacha from Yerushalayim, where he went home from Shaul's house to spend time with the family because they're having a big meal, and it was Rosh Chodesh. So you see that it was the thing for David HaMelech's family, okay, to celebrate. Rosh Chodesh Haya, that was Rosh Chodesh. Dechsiv, Vahim Makas HaChodesh. It says very clearly, that's what it was. So that's right number 2, that Rosh Chodesh is a day of a special meal. Okay, there's one more raya, but let me just throw out 2 deflections. The Beis Yosef doesn't like either of these proofs. He doesn't like the proof from Shmuel, even though it's a beautiful, beautiful story. But he says, you know what? Just because it was Rosh Chodesh, so like maybe that was like Yishai's birthday, right? Maybe he went home for his father's birthday. Okay, it's not clear that this was a meal that they dafka made. Oh, Rosh Chodesh is the day that the whole family gets together. That's when they got together. So it happened to be Rosh Chodesh. Hard to know for sure that was because of some mandated holiday. Okay. And what about the other source? The other source was that there's a Sudas Rosh Chodesh, and we put that together, Sudas Purim. What else could that possibly mean? What other meal that revolves around Rosh Chodesh that might refer to? You want to take a guess at this one? Maybe it's not just like, let's have a party because it's Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that when the Eidim used to come to Yerushalayim to testify, right? We had to encourage them to come. And after they had come, right? Could be 10, 20, 100 pairs of witnesses would come, right? But we had to make sure that people kept coming back. Because if every time you show up to testify about the new month, there's already people who showed up before you, you say to yourself, like, I don't need to come. There's someone else is going to do it, right? And then ultimately no one's going to come because you put it off on somebody else. So what did they do?
Gave him food.
He made a geshmak of kiddush with shalant and kugel. Okay? Especially because once he came to Yerushalayim, if it was a day where, let's see, it was Shabbos, like, you couldn't travel after that, right? You were stuck in the base of Migdash. You were stuck in the Sanhedrin. You couldn't go anywhere. So...
Did they have sleeping quarters for those people?
I guess so, but it wasn't necessarily overnight. But it was still, you know, you traveled all the way from Haifa to testify about the new moon, and now I can't even go visit my relatives in town. So they served them a lot of food. So maybe the Suda that's being discussed over there was the Suda of Rosh Chodesh, of Kiddush HaChodesh, or of the Beis Din, right? Maybe it was something else relating to Rosh Chodesh. And some say, by the way, the Indian of the Suda Rosh Chodesh was Zecher Lakach, Zecher to that practice. The third example, though, the third Raya is a very interesting Raya. What do we say? I've quoted this many times before. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, in Beitza, that all of our finances are determined right at the beginning of the year. Gemara in Beitza seems to say somewhere between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Hashem decides what your finances will be, what your income will be for the rest of the year. Except for what? What does not come into account?
What you spend on Shabbos.
What you spend on Shabbos and Yontif, what else? What you spend on? Your kids' chinuch. Okay? The money you spend, if very important, both sides, if your kids need like a tutor to help them learn Gemara, don't worry about the price, okay? Because that comes out of this special divine expense account, okay? And don't wait till your kid needs a tutor. Your kid, if you can't learn with your son by yourself, you should, you know, hire an older teenager, young Kola guy, young guy in YU to learn with him on Sunday mornings or Shabbos afternoon. Show your children what's chashuv, okay? You pay for him to get lessons to play the piano, or skating lessons so he can play ice hockey. Get him for a little time each week. Show him that there's also chashivas to, I'll give you Avi Feldman's number. He'll learn with him, okay? He shouldn't only see you spending money on bar mitzvah lessons. That's also important, okay? But extracurricular learning, if your kids see you're learning a little bit and you value your children learning a little bit, that will stay with them for life. Okay? So Rabbi Bosai, it doesn't come out of the expense account. So you can spend whatever you need to on Shabbos.
What daf is this?
Yudzayin. Tezayin. So I told you, I once sent the letter to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I asked him, how far does this go? If you have a guy who's on a limited budget, okay, and owning Shabbos, right? So is it just a meal? What if he buys fancy flowers for his wife? Okay? Is that part of owning Shabbos as well? Does that come out of the... expense account?
I hope so.
What about? I don't. Everyone has to buy flowers. What? The question is: do you buy the $35 bouquet or the $25 bouquet? Okay, or the $50 bouquet? What about air conditioning? What if you want to? You want to just be able to leave your air conditioner on the whole Shabbos? It's very expensive. Very expensive. Okay. And what about your suit? Dry clean your suit. Okay. Nafkamina. When you have a baby and you're burping your baby. Okay. So. I remember when my kids were very little, I would always have a lot of stuff on my Shabbos clothes. So you can't really do anything about it on Shabbos, right? So maybe I should take my jacket off. Okay, so I think actually Mishmura says put a cloth over your suit, okay? So keep your clothing clean. But
you wouldn't be, like, why would you think that you wouldn't be able to put a cloth
down? No, you can definitely put a cloth down, 100%. But
no.
Maybe I shouldn't compromise my covered Shabbos because, the dry cleaner is covered. Dry cleaner is covered.
Yeah, but
okay.
Let's be honest. If it doesn't spit up on the suit, it's going to play with the suit and then it's going to get all
the junk. Okay. All right. Anyway, so Chaim answered Yitachin. He said it could very well be. It's reasonable to assume that other things are included in the expense account as well. I think Rapinkas tells a story that he used to bring his kids to the candy store on Friday afternoon and just like swing open the door and say, okay, guys, knock yourself out, So it could be there is some reasonable limitation to this, but it means if you're in the store and you're not sure, should I get that extra kugel, the extra smoky cholent, you know, instead of the regular cholent, go for it. Okay, because Baruch Hu's got your back. So that's what it says in the Gemara. Zok to Psikta, the same thing is true. Burgers and grill in Rosh Chodesh. Ooh. That's right, shir lunch on the house. Okay. So the... That's the only place it doesn't work. That's the only, you're going to get a bill, okay? So Rabosai, so Zuck the tour. What should we do? The Gemara says Shabbos and Yontif, and the Medrash says it's also true about Rosh Chodesh. So maybe we should adopt that Medrash. At least, at the very least, you see that there is a chashivas to a suit of Rosh Chodesh. We can all agree to the fact that it's not going to be on the same level as the suit of Shabbos and Yontif, but it's still something. Okay?
So buying expensive etrol gula, that's like, chill.
That might be something different. There is hither mitzvah, and the Gemara gives an amount of how much you're supposed to spend. You're supposed to spend an extra third. So whatever a kosher lulav and esrog costs, then you can spend another third. You should spend another third to make it mehudar. There are different opinions about this. I just know that for a number of years, I used to go shopping with the Shechter for lulav and esrog. I used to try to help him out a little bit, and his opinion. Okay, this is not.
He would ball out or no?
He walked in. He would choose for himself $50-$60 set. Okay, he was very makbud about the lulav. Details about the lulav we can talk about another time. And his children told me this every year, long before I came along. He'd do this every year, and he would show them. He'd make a point of it. He would spend a reasonable amount of lulav and esrog, $50-$60. Go home and write a $100 check to tzedakah. He says, wow. I'm going to do my mitzvah. I'm going to do my hither mitzvah also. But I'm not going to do a $300 hither mitzvah because, you know what? There are people who can't afford a lulav and esrog at all. Right? So I'm going to buy a $300 lulav and esrog and they can't afford it. And I'm going to use it up all on my mitzvah. You should give it to tzedakah. I remember at Rav Shechter's father's funeral, which was here. Rav Shechter's father was a very chashuv rav here in New York, but he was also Rosh Yeshiva in YU. And he said, I don't want the children, I forgot what it was, to fly in from Eretz Yisrael for the funeral. Better to use the money for tzedakah. That's also a big schus for the neshama, to use the mitzvah for tzedakah. Okay? So we have to think about that. Let's get back to our topic and talk about that another time. He quotes the medrash that extends it to Rosh Chodesh. Okay? But we should just be aware that it's interesting to note that the Gemara that we have doesn't include it, so it may not be exactly on par. Okay, we have to cover a few things. I'm sorry, I'll take questions afterwards. All right, so we see that there is definitely a mitzvah. There is a mitzvah laharbos besuda. But notice, and this is maybe the most important thing, the Torah never said anything about that eating of suda coming from simcha. Okay, he never said it comes from simcha. What else could it come from? Maybe for somewhere else, right? So we said maybe it's a zecher to the meal that they used to serve the people who came to testify. Maybe other reasons, but it's not necessarily simcha. Now it is true we paskin that there's no mitzvah. I'm sorry that it is usher to fast on Rosh Chodesh. We paskin that it's usher to say a hesped, right? If you attend the funeral, God forbid, on Rosh Chodesh, they're not supposed to make a full blown eulogy the way they would on a weekday because you're not supposed to emotionally be in the same place on Rosh Chodesh as you are other days, right? If it's Chanukah, right? Another example, Chanukah, even though Chanukah, again, Chanukah may not have a pure simcha inyan, right? There's no suda on Chanukah, really. You can make a Chanukah party, but it's not really a suda in the same way you have on Purim or Yom Tovim, but we don't do a hesped. So certain days have a simcha take a spin to them, and we avoid hesped on those days, okay? We also avoid having an ovel, daven for the amud. There's different minhagim and different shuls. If the ovel is allowed to daven Rosh Chodesh, or maybe get on Rosh Chodesh, but he can't daven halal, right? Because halal should be said b'simcha. So you want to have someone who can achieve that. But again, so we have certain aspects of no hesped, no fasting, even if we don't find that necessarily translating into a mitzvah simcha for the meal. Because we have to sort of process what all that means. So there's a very interesting statement of the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting from the Rishonim. I'm at the bottom page, Shura Bosai. Okay, another 15 minutes or so. Please stay with me. Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaYin Simen Tuf Yud Tes, Siv Beis. Bottom of page 2. No. The Kolbo says, in the underlined passage, please listen to this very important line. Because of Kolbo, because of the Suda Himim, they covered a yom. The Suda that you don't know, Rosh Chodesh, is indeed a special meal for the day, shehu kapar li Yisrael. So besides the reason we said before about the meal for the witnesses, he says the meal is in honor of the day, which is a special day of kapara. So that's interesting, because even if we ignore simcha for a moment, maybe the suda stems from other reasons why we highlight the unique nature of the day. And Rosh Chodesh, so if you look at the Rosh Chodesh Moses that we said today, we may not refer to simcha, but we do refer to, right? How do we start? Rosh Chodeshim la'amcha nasa'ata zman kapara l'chol todosan. It is a special day of kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. Now, we spoke a little bit about this last week. I don't want to repeat it, but the simple pshat in the kapara refers to special carbon chatos that's brought in Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting that those chatos are brought in Yom Tovim as well, but Yom Tovim have other things to focus on. Rosh Chodesh has nothing else. It's just the kapara's musaf, right? It's just the kapara. There is an additional aspect which is very heavily emphasized in Svarim, such as the Svarim and the Kabbalim, like Rabbi Chaim Vital, that Rosh Chodesh is specially designated for Kapara, actually Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? In preparation for Rosh Chodesh, yeah. Like Yom Kippur Katan. Okay? Yom Kippur Katan, we have Slichos, people fast on Erev Yom Kippur, on Erev Rosh Chodesh, sorry. So there is something unique about the Kapara of Rosh Chodesh and preparing for it. No, that's not true. The Gemara actually says that because Rosh Chodesh already has a status of its own, unlike, let's say, the days of the Megillas Tainis, where you weren't allowed to fast the day before or afterwards, Rosh Chodesh, because it's a Doraisa, it doesn't need any chizuk to it. Okay? So we do have a practice. Many people fast. Many people did it recently because of the war. To mark Yom Kippur Katan. So Rosh Chodesh, Musa focuses on the Kapara, focuses on the Karbanos, and that's why we would call it Zman Kapara. Maybe the Indian of the Suda, right, sort of a different attitude, different mindset when you sit down to have your Rosh Chodesh Suda and you think about, oh, it's a special day of Kapara. Special day of Kapara. Okay. Ad Kedekach, look at the last source on number two, page two. The Smak. Look how he ends off the bracha that is debated in our Gemara. Baruch Adosh HaMogen HaMal HaLam, Asher Nosan Rosh HaKadosh HaMal Yisrael, LeKapara, LeKapara LeZikaron. So he took this all the way. He left out the simcha that our Gemara discusses, and he focuses on la kapara. So I think I can't tell you.
Rosh Chodesh kapara or the day before is kapara, or both.
The we'll say Rosh Chodesh is kapara. Yeah. I believe what the mekubalim are emphasizing is that in preparation for Rosh Chodesh, there's a special Indian of tshuva on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So I want to make two points about in the remaining time that we have, that which I think I can't tell you it's a pshat in the smak, but Soloveitchik said this in the name of his father. This idea. There's a second idea. The first idea is preliminary, which may bring out the crossover between the Indian of Simcha and the Kapara in a way that we can very much understand. That'll even help us understand our Gemara and Brachos. Please stay with me a little while longer. One pshat, maybe a little balbatish, is what the Brachos of Ram says at the top of page three. He says, you know what, Shabbos, is Shabbos a day where there's a mitzvah Simcha? We made it very clear. Is it a mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos? No. Do you have to eat meat on Shabbos? No, you don't.
What?
No, there's no mitzvah Simchon Shabbos.
Fish and meat.
Okay?
Fish and meat.
Chicken. Have chicken. If you like meat, enjoy meat. But there's no chiv to have meat on it.
You have dairy?
Yeah. It's not ideal because a kavadik, you don't serve dairy at a chasana, right? Shavuos. Meaning.
What about
That's a great topic. Come back to me in a couple weeks. Okay? Let's stay focused on this, okay? But there's no chiv in the same way. Again, there's the chiv of simcha that comes along basar v'yayin, and you don't have that on Shabbos. You just don't. But at the same time, what's interesting is that on Shabbos, think about how the tefillah looks. Yismachu b'malchus chashom Shabbos koronik, right? There isn't enough simcha. Yismach Moshe b'mat naschelko, right? What do you mean? Not okay, right. Okay, the words are not exactly the same. But even the Zmiros refer to simcha and Shabbos, even though it's not. Same mitzvah. So it could be what the Brachos of Ram says is again. It sounds a little balabatish, but there it definitely makes sense that there's a difference between a din simcha, you know, a brisker din simcha that's machayev that has nafkaminas for avelus, Okay? And even if there's no din simcha on Shabbos, that to push off or to interrupt or to cancel Shiva, right? But you still don't behave in the same way. There's no avelos b'farhesi on Shabbos, right? You still have to cut back some of the behaviors, at least public behaviors on Shabbos, of avelos. It is a day of simcha, even if there's no din simcha. So maybe, he says, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh is not a din simcha, the same way Yontav is, but maybe the unique aspect of kapara that exists on Rosh Chodesh makes it a yom simcha. Okay. I mean, that would at least acknowledge the possibility of mentioning the word simcha. Okay, or you could say that it's an impetus for a suda, but it doesn't mean it's going to cancel Shiva, right? Well, no, we're only saying half halal. Rosh Chodesh only saying half halal. It's not legit. Okay, correct. So that minog may stem from the unique quality of the day. Fair enough. Okay, even more than Shabbos, right? So that may be the shlug up on your answer, because we don't do it on Shabbos. So let me give you the answer that I think comes from Rav Soloveitchik's observations and his father's observations, which I think will account for all the questions we're having. Okay? Even though we don't have a real mitzvah halal on Rosh Chodesh, right? What do we say is the Torah's emphasis of Rosh Chodesh? The chatzotzos are blown. Yom simchaschem, odechem, rosh chodeshchem, al oloseichem, val zivchei shamechem. The korban musaf that's brought, the special korbanos that are brought in Rosh Chodesh, that's where it's at, right? Outside of Beis HaMikdash, if you think about it, there really is no practical expression of Rosh Chodesh. It's all about the Beis HaMikdash. Ad kedei kach rabo sai, if you forget Yalav Yavo, the first night of Rosh Chodesh, give me a second, you'll see. First night of Rosh Chodesh, if you forget Yalav Yavo in your Shemon Esrei, do you have to speak Shemon Esrei? No. Why? Because Ein Mekadshim Es HaChodesh B'Laila. What about the second night of Rosh Chodesh? What about last night? If you don't go back if you forgot that Marv last night. Second night, you also don't repeat it, right? I understand. The first night, I don't say it because they don't declare Rosh Chodesh till the daytime. But they already declared Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. Why do I not need to repeat Shemon Esrei if I forgot it Sunday night? Okay, no, that's not the reason. Zakhtar Rav, the answer is because there's absolutely no Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Chodesh at night at all. Even though that sounds crazy, because in Yiddishkeit, right, it's always the day and the night. It may all be Rosh Chodesh, but the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh is only during the daytime.
Why?
Because the entirety of the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh revolves only around the Beis HaMikdash. It's all about the Karban. Oh, Nafkamina, beautiful. Maybe, if we take this all the way, whatever mitzvah simple might exist, or the Indian of the Suda, okay? Even if it's not tied to simple, maybe it's only during the daytime. Some say that, okay? That we could be, think about that, maybe we can slug it up, but there's a very strong side to say that. Because it, unlike... He goes to town. That unlike Shabbos and Yontif, which are holidays where the Kedusha of those days pervade the entire lifestyle of a Jew, everywhere, Rosh Chodesh is the one holiday on the list where it's all about Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban says that even though it's clear in that Gemara and Erechin that there's no mitzvah of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash there was! Doraisa! Hallel Shalom in Beis HaMikdash! Mitzvah Shira, Al HaKorban, Al Olal Seicha, Val Zivchei Shamechem. And maybe even on Shabbos. What? Even. But that's what. Oh, okay, so LMI, we could suggest on a practical level now that because all of the Simcha and Shira of Rosh Chodesh is in the unique, we'll say, hidden dimension of Rosh Chodesh, which, by the way, the Rav had a beautiful drasha about how, you know, we know that everything that's holy to us, the more holy it is, the more we protect it, right? Aron Kodesh, you put the Sefer Torah, the holiest thing we have, you tuck it away, you cover it, tznius, Beis HaMikdash, the holiest part of Judaism is closed off to our eyes, no one sees it, right? So he says, in a certain sense, Rosh Chodesh has it relates to, there's two different types of Kedushas. So there's two different types of people. There's very influential Jewish leaders who are all over the place. Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of Klal Yisrael. And then you have people who, if you don't appreciate them on the inside, right? He says that was the mistake the brothers made about Yosef. Yaakov recognized that Yosef was something special. The only thing the brothers saw, he says, Vayar Osomer Chok, they saw him from a distance. He was dressed up with a special coat, or he was very handsome on the outside. They didn't appreciate the inner beauty of Yosef. The Rav said he was always attracted to people who had that inner beauty. He said his father, he said he never got a kiss from his father. His father was a very stern, serious person. He said people think that's because, oh, the Briskers, the Lithuanians are very cold and very unemotional. He said, no, it's almost Hasidish. He said, my father knew that every holy emotion was Kodesh Kedoshim and has to be stored inside and protected like a Sefer Torah, like an Aron Kodesh deep inside the Kodesh Kedoshim Beis HaMikdash. So Rosh Chodesh represents that dimension. There's two different dimensions of Yiddishkeit. Sometimes we express on the outside, sometimes on the inside. Rosh Chodesh is a manifestation of that inner dimension of Yiddishkeit, which is hidden, and it's only in Beis HaMikdash, not all over Eretz Yisrael, not all over the world. So he says, could be that our simcha means that we don't fast, we don't have a hesped. It's a passive mitzvah simcha. The active mitzvah simcha is absent as long as the Beis HaMikdash is absent. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is absent. And notice, and a hidden sense of simcha, but also, to respond to what you said before, it's an inyan for us, practically, of yearning for that we're missing. Again, there's passages in the Musaf we said this morning that don't appear during the Shalosh Regalim. For example, go back to the beginning of the Musaf again. How does it start? Rosh Chodeshim la'am chonasata, zman kapara l'chol todasam, b'yosem makrivim l'fanecha zivchei ratzon. And we say, Mizbeach Chadash B'tzion Tachin V'olas Rosh Chodesh Na'aleh Alav. Those phrases do not appear, right? We're looking forward. We're missing that. Because without that, essentially, on one level, we have nothing. Bavodas Beis HaMikdash Nismach Kulanu. Do you say that on Yontif? No, you don't. Because that's what we're missing. We're missing everything when it comes to Rosh Chodesh nowadays when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Rav Chaim Kanievsky makes that ha'ara. Bavodas Beis HaMikdash Nismach Kulanu. When is the only time we'll finally have the universal national simcha? Only when we have Mizbeach. It's we're reaching, we're pushing for something more. Pushing for something more. Shaftu quotes from the Rav. The Rav had a medrash that demonstrates that in the future we're gonna fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel even on Rosh Chodesh.
What?
Okay?
80 times a year?
In theory. He says based on the tziv that it's more, it's a voluntary mitzvah. But there's any of it. In the Haftorah and Parshas Vayera, when Elisha brings back to life the child who died, the Isha Shunamis, right? So after the child dies, the wife, without even telling her husband what happened, wants to run to ask him to help out her son, right? So what does he say to her? He said, where are you going? Why are you going to visit the Navi? Lo Shabbos Hayom, lo Chodesh Hayom. Shabbos over there means like Yontif. Sometimes in the Torah, Shabbos actually refers to Yontif, like so sometimes Shabbos is actually Yontif. So it's not Yontif, and it's not Rosh Chodesh. Why are you going to see the Navi? It's because there's a connection between visiting the Rav and visiting Beis HaMikdash. Okay, not for now, but that's why there is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to visit your Rebbe on Yontif. Okay? So, finally, Rabbosai, now that we have a new... Very good. Now we have a new view of what Rosh Chodesh is. It's about this simcha that is looking forward to Beis HaMikdash. And when we have the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to revolve around Beis HaMikdash. So A, now we understand what's going on in our Gemara. Could be there is a mitzvah simcha. It's a passive simcha nowadays. True. Passive simcha, still an inyan to celebrate with some sort of suda, l'kavod hayom, l'kavod l'kapara, l'kavod l'korban that we're missing. Oh, so what's the subject of the Gemara? Do I mention simcha? There is an inyan of simcha. Not the same inyan of simcha, but the question is, about it, with that mitzvah simcha, the Beis HaMikdash, does that translate into mentioning it in the benching the same way that it does on Yontif when we do actively celebrate simcha nowadays? Right, we could make that argument, right? Does that, or even if not, we say, does that celebration, does that simcha of Beis HaMikdash, is it something that's going to be reflected, Beis HaMikdash or not, but is that something that even gets manifested in what we're doing right now? Is the simcha, maybe even the simcha of a suda, right, is what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash enough to be mashpia on our day-to-day that we should be machayev the suda? If you look at the bottom of page 4, I couldn't resist. Just last Thursday, the Jewish Views, which is a newspaper, actually my cousin publishes it, Ari Hirsch from from a stem set. Yeah, so they interviewed Rav Schachter. Now they asked a lot of fun questions, Rav Schachter. Okay, so you have to know Rav Schachter to understand how to process some of the responses, but this was very straightforward. So he said, does the Rosh Hashiva hold the minhag of giving his wife a present every Yom Tov? So the question is not worded correctly, because it's not a minhag to give a wife a present every Yom Tov. It's a chiv d'oraisa of Mr. Simcha. We spoke about this, right? We said, in the name of Neventzal, someone asked him, do you, if your wife is mochel, you still have to give her a present. And Rav Neventzal said, she can only be mochel, the Bein Adam l'chaveiro. You still have a chiv Bein Adam l'mokom. So Shafta says he gives paycheck all the time. If she has free reign to buy all the clothing, all the jewelry, whenever she wants, she yotze. Okay, good. It's a good answer, both for Shalom Bias. Okay, but for Shalom Bias, it's nice to also surprise your wife with something special. Also, so then he said after, well, one second, Rosh Chodesh is the Yom Tov for women, right? Someone actually pointed out to me over Shabbos and Shul that. Right, Rosh Chodesh is a Yom Tov for women. It fits very much with the drasha, the hesped of Rav Salvech that we're discussing. Rosh Chodesh is the inner holiday. Kol kvud bas malach panima. Women have a different avodah than men. That's why the mitzvah tznias is more incumbent upon them, because their avodah is more an inner avodah than the men. The men are the ones who have to stand in the front. They have to daven for the yamid of chulei. Women have the avodah of being mekadesh the home and so forth. So the holiday which is consistent with that is Rosh Chodesh. So he says technically that could mean that erev Rosh Chodesh. If we really go with the mitzvah simcha all the way, then you have an obligation to buy your wife something new, something special, a new shetel, every Rosh Chodesh. Okay? So my wife buys whatever she wants, whenever she wants. So Rav Schachter is not only Gadol B'Torah in so many ways, but he's also a great example how to be a mensch, how to be a good husband. Okay? Happy Rosh Chodesh, everybody. And celebrate with simcha, and a simcha that looks forward to the simcha of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yo, where is this book from?